Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. You got any comments, send them to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Please cast your vote for the show on Podcast Alley. That's podcastalley.greatdetectives.net. And you can become a fan of the show on Facebook, facebook.greatdetectives.net. All right, well, we've got several feedbacks here we're going to share with you. In the course of this show, first we have a comment from Lance who commented on Johnny Madero, and he said that it's nowhere near as enjoyable as Pat Novak. Webb's performance was great, but I missed Jocko's bit. And he also says, I happened to listen to Michael Shane, and it had Webb as Inspector Lefevre. It was weird to hear Webb as the antagonistic cop who was one step behind the P.I. The episode was called The Case of the Phantom Neighbor. If it wasn't Jack Webb, it was one heck of a sound-a-lot. It was almost certainly Jack Webb. He did at least three guest appearances on the New Adventures of Michael Shane. And given there were 26 episodes, he was doing quite a few, not all in that same role. There were several roles before Joe Friday where he played police officers. There's a show called Murder and Mr. Malone, or The Amazing Mr. Malone. I forget which incarnation he was in, but he played a police lieutenant in that one. All right, well, we have a comment on Podcast Alley from Monique, who says that she just wanted to say thanks for the podcast. Just finished watching the movie The Bat on the iTunes application. It's nice to be able to watch or listen to something that I would never run across on my own. I really appreciate the time and effort you put into these shows. Thanks again. Well, thanks so much, Monique. And that's really, other than the hosting stuff, that's really my prime thing. It's just finding those things that people haven't necessarily heard before, and be able to bring them something that will be entertaining and interesting. And there are several shows like that, because I know a lot of these are familiar, like yours truly, Johnny Dollar, but others like Johnny Madero and Jeff Regan are not quite as widely known, so we're glad to bring those to you as well. All right, well, we're going to get into today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in just a moment. But I do want to let you know about a deal that is being offered through Priceline. We're affiliated with Priceline. Between now and the end of the month, if you go and you go to greatdetectives.net, in the right hand side, there's a text link. And for a limited time, you reserve a hotel off of Priceline, if you find a lower price for the same hotel, they'll refund 100% of the difference and give you $25 back. In addition, for customers with U.S. billing addresses, Priceline will give you a coupon for $50 off your next purchase of a two-night or longer Priceline vacation package. So that is set up for you, and that's just another great way to save through Priceline. So just go to greatdetectives.net, click the text link to check it out. All right, well, today's episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, is the Island of Tin Yutan, and we'll be back.
The only reason I took this case on a savage island off the coast of New Guinea was that I'd been having a bout with a bottle of Old Fairy Godmother, and I was hoping to run into a native who would shrink my head. This is another in the adventures of America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator, Johnny Dollar. At insurance investigation, Johnny Dollar is only an expert. At making out his expense accounts, he's an absolute genius. The
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Seven Seas Maritime Underwriters Association, Hartford, Connecticut. Attention, Enos McArdle, General Manager. The following is an accounting of my expenditures during my assignment on the island of Tinutan, or south of the equator, things can get hot in more ways than one. Or, Mother, call my draft board, I'm leaving the country again. Expense account, item one, $830.81, and 3.5 shillings. Airfare, Hartford, Connecticut, to Port Moresby, territory of Papua, island of New Guinea. That's a long trip, brother. By the time I got there, I felt that my spine could use a new seating arrangement. Expense account item two, $36.80. New outfit consisting of bush jacket, linen shorts, and a pith helmet. Item three, 2 bits. The street beggar regarding location of building in which was situated the Port Moresby branch of the Seven Seas Maritime Underwriters Association.
Oh, him long, long house, him blow what fella? Little way, big bet, money. You catch him street long side, hurry. You hear joyous big fella buckets, you fight him cry. Him long, long house blown from there, no?
No. Thanks a lot. I'll go look it up in a telephone book.
Oh!
Yes, sir, I'm Mr. Markey. And it's lovely having you here, Mr. Dollar.
I wish I could say the same about being here.
Oh, now you get used to it.
I don't expect to be here that long.
Cool. You're a feisty one, aren't you? You have a very large job to do.
Mm-hmm. Let's just say I'm usually very lucky. But first, let me tell you what I've been told so far, and then if I've left out anything, you fill me in, okay?
That'll be picky-boo, Mr. Dollar.
Your company issued a group insurance policy to the Grand East Development Corporation in the United States. Now, that company used $50,000 life insurance policies as part of the inducement to get executives and divers for their pearling fleet.
That's right.
Well, about a month ago, they got word that the bodies of two of their 6-man crew on the island of Tinutan had been found hacked to pieces. The other 4 men were missing, which adds up to a possible insurance payoff of $350,000. That's what I'm doing here, and that's all I know.
Well, that's all there is to know.
Oh, dandy. Hasn't anybody done anything? What about the police?
They got their own troubles right here in the port. And as for the government officials, they'll look into it the next time around. It should be in about 90 days.
Oh, fine. That leaves you. What have you been doing to earn your money? Waiting for me?
Well, you could put it that way, Mr. Dollar.
Why haven't you gone over to Tinutan?
Well, now you might say that I'm just not a man of great courage, eh? Hey, but sight. I can help you to get there.
Oh, thanks. Heaps.
Aboard the Kittywake.
Yes? What do you want?
I'm looking for Captain Steve Granger.
That's me. On aboard.
Captain Granger, I'm Johnny Dollar.
Pleased to meet you.
Mr. Naki of the Seven Seas Maritime Underwriters tells me you might be available for a charter job.
Where to?
Tinutan.
Well, I guess so. And it's a big boat. It'll cost you big money.
Well, Naki says your prices are fair. When do we leave?
I'll be ready by 5. I can't be 2.
Good. I'll go get my toothbrush.
Good. And since you're going to Tinutan, you might also bring one other thing. A 45.
Anyway, with the 2-masted schooner. And it skimmed the swell of the Arupa Sea like a saltwater bird after which it was named. I guess I'm like most guys. When I'm standing on my sea legs, I suddenly feel like a giant, standing alone against the world. Romance is no longer a sleazy blonde in a tinny bar. All of a sudden, it's all stars and sky, horizon. When the wind and the water start to sing their song to me, any bad in me decides to reform. I was standing on top of the deckhouse like Captain Horatio Hornblower, with my legs spread and my outstretched hands dripping a pair of backstays. Or at least that's what I think they were. And just about the time I'd reached the decision to trade my Hartford apartment for a berth on a Macassar purling lugger, I heard a footstep from out of the night behind me.
They're passing, eh?
Huh? Oh, yeah, Captain. Guess you caught me dreaming.
A waste of time. This is the only place where dreaming can't possibly be as good as living. It's none of my business, but this sudden jump in Senior Chan tourist fare, what's it all about?
What do you mean, sudden?
Well, this is the first time I've ever taken one passenger there, let alone two.
Two?
Yeah, another guy came to me after you did. He's below deck.
Oh.
Now, that ought to make you happy. It'll cut your fare in half.
About that, I'll just let the guy who pays my expenses be happy. As for me, I like privacy. Who is this guy?
Now look, Dollar, I didn't ask you any questions, did I? Well, I didn't ask him any.
In my racket, coincidence is just another name for trouble. I wanted to get a look at and trade some words with my suddenly acquired fellow passenger, but he wasn't having any. He stuck to his cabin, claiming seasickness. However, from the native galley boy, I learned that he was eating like a horse, which in my book was a new way of being seasick. I borrowed a copy of Western Story magazine from the skipper, crawled into my bunk, and let the kittywake rock me to sleep. The next morning and afternoon were as uneventful as they were beautiful, and at sunset, we raised the island of Tin Yutan.
All right, boys! Here's where you go to work. House all sails. We'll go in under power. Hey, Tiki.
Telephone.
Here's the crew of the ship. We got enough help back here.
Tiki, don't roll.
Hey, break that line. Don't leave it just lying a big heap. All right, grab the engine.
Big gas engine took over where the wind dropped it, and Captain Granger stood at his wheel, outfencing his submerged swords of coral with the slim prow of a kittiwake. The ship had only inches of elbow room as we chewed our way through the boiling white passage of the reef, and my heart felt suddenly becalmed as we finally achieved the peaceful waters of the lagoon, which it protected.
Let's go to Power Ranger! Hey! Never mind that anchor. All bets are off. We're getting out of here.
Captain Steve Granger looked like a hard man to scare, but what I saw up ahead on the beach would scare a hard man. The broken body of a shipwrecked purling lugger, and hanging from its foremast, the elongated body of a native who had been strangled out of one paradise and into another. Granger spun the wheel to starboard, and the kittywake started a retreat. But it wasn't that easy.
Touch the power, Granger. Straighten out your rudders. We're staying here.
I was finally getting a chance to meet my fellow passengers. I couldn't very well shake hands with him, though, because he had a gun in each one of them.
What the devil's your game, Steve?
I said touch your power.
Got it!
Keep that crew of Kanakas up forward. If you don't, we could use a few less natives around here.
Hey, by the clock, clock, it's time.
I want to know what you're telling them. You, Dollar, get back there by the wheel. Keep your boys back there, Granger, I warned you. All right, you think I won't call your bluff?
You cut, cut. An unarmed native, you ugly pig.
You can't stop the other two, I can. Now, maybe you'll tell me what you were saying to
him. I told him there was a crazy man aboard and to go over the side. They decided to protect me.
They didn't make it. Now lay this rowboat in close to the beach and drop your hook. We're staying.
One Matt Keeley, two guns, and what was left of 12 bullets had me outnumbered. I decided the best thing I could do was stay quiet and stay alive. And apparently the skipper felt the same way. After we dropped anchor,
Keeley herded us into the small boat, and we rowed him ashore. His gun shoved us up a path, through a grove of nipa palms, and into a clearing. First natives I saw there were even deader than the ones we had just left on the Kittiwake. About a dozen of them in a semicircle. And what added up to the red-crusted craters on our naked, withering bodies was sticking out of a window in a small wooden tin-roofed hut. The water-cooled barrel of a .30-caliber machine gun. South Sea Island magic, huh?
Oh, I heard you were a wise guy. Well, that can be changed.
Now, come on, inside, both of you.
Keely, my friend.
Why, you're shooting over the water. What's the matter? Big trouble you have getting here?
Yeah, no, but a little one. Big blonde guy's a skipper. We got his boat, and it's a good one.
Ah.
This other one, yeah, he's an insurance investigator.
Oh,
yeah, Portez, I'm your new nursemaid. The insurance company sent me out here to look you up and take care of you. I hope I get around to it. My way.
Hey, Keeley, what's that you say? You got my boat.
Yeah, don't worry, big boy. We're going to pay you for it. We might even go as high as $500.
Oh, that's great. It's only worth 50,000.
Oh, having 500 alive is better than 50,000 dead, my friend.
What's your pitch?
Yeah, simple. We want off this island. We got a long way to go. Portez, me, and a native girl. She's in the next room. We may have to stay at sea for a couple of months.
Not on my ship.
Use your head. You won't get hurt.
Oh. Hey! Hey, yo, woman! Get back in there!
No, I did.
Really put her away. Keep her out of here.
Oh,
yo.
Oh.
Yeah, for such an ugly brush, she's got a pretty name. Upper Liar. Well, Dollar, you've seen yourself a South Sea Island princess.
She's your date, Keely, not mine.
Kind of boy, Dollar. They do look like they were meant for each other.
Save you one for your sails, Granger. Now, what about your boat? Do we get it with a bill of sale or without one?
Either way, it's all right with me. If you'll take what goes...
With Portez out of the room with Nature Girl, Granger's move looked like a good one. I was halfway across the room to make it two against one for the right side when the odds snapped back to even money again. Portez came rushing back to join the fray, and he started fighting when he was 5 yards away. Just about then, Nature Girl came charging out of her quarters, swinging a chair over her head. I'd just gotten in position to shoot a right hand at Keeley's chin, but another shot from Portez's gun put me strictly on my own. Caught Granger square in the forehead, and he went down without a sound. I had time for one more try. Keeley's chin telegraphed a knockout message. Da-da-da, da-da-da, K.O., bank up my arm. But something was wrong.
Oh, I passed out.
In just a moment, we'll return to the second act of Johnny Dollar. But first, 50,000 or more, always in the jackpot on Sing It Again. Music by Gene Autry and Vaughn Monroe. Music and thrills with Gangbusters, Philip Marlowe, Johnny Dollar, and Danny Clover, the Broadway cop. That's the one-way ticket to top fun on most of these CBS stations every Saturday night. This fall, when you hear them all on CBS, Saturday night promises top music, top adventure, and a chance at radio's top prize. Now, with our star, Charles Russell, we return to the second act of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
It was a beautiful dream while it lasted. It wasn't night, it was morning. I was in a hammock slung between two banyan trees framed in hibiscus bushes. Someone was bathing my face with a cool, damp, gardenia-scented cloth. A tame parrot was feeding me toasted pumpkin seeds. As a smooth-skinned, soft-skinned, top-of-your-lay-skinned, half-caste, and all-woman-type girl gazed into my eyes and cooed softly in my ear, this doll would make Dorothy L'Amour look like an Irish washerwoman.
and the boots he was wearing are shorts around.
Oh, poor, poor man. Please wake up.
Hey, it wasn't a dream. It was really happening. Everything was there. All but the parrot and his lousy pumpkin seeds. And who needed him?
Oh, poor, poor man. Please wake up.
Where am I? Studio One? Huh? Who are you? I thought you were talking in my sleep.
I am Punta.
Oh, this is awful.
Awful?
Yeah, this all reminds me. My copy of Tales of the South Pacific is 17 days overdue at the Hartford Public Library.
How?
Forget it. Where am I? What am I doing here? And who are you?
I am Punta. You were brought here by the Princess Papalaya from the village of Great Bear.
Oh, well, that place isn't hard to remember. Wish I could forget it. The princess? The one with the droopy ears, the long feet, the flat nose, the pot belly, the bad complexion and dirty hair?
Yes, she is it.
She's a doll. Last time I saw her, she was swinging a chair at my head.
Oh, no. She hit other fella on head after he hit you. She saved you. She like you. She tell me save you for her.
Oh, what a way to die. Why didn't she hit me over the head with a chair? Hey, you speak pretty fair English. Where'd you pick it up?
My father was Chinese merchant on island of New Guinea. Same time as the war. You like the eye?
I certainly do. Sorry I didn't bring a Hershey bar. But tell me, why did the Princess Papaya, whatever her name is, why did she save me?
I tell you, she loved me.
Oh, stop saying that. All I want to know is, what was she doing with Keeley and Cortez? You know Keeley and Cortez, don't you?
Yes, I know them. They bad. I work in village until they make the great death. They kill all their friends and many natives. They died.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. What was that all about?
They died for Pearl here for a long time. The native boy, they do not like these men. They do not die anymore. So these bad men steal all Pearl first. Then they steal Princess to make boy die some more.
Oh, kidnap, ransom, more pearls?
What is this? Ransom?
Oh, that means they'll hold the princess and won't give her back until they get what they want.
Oh.
But, Dream Girl, for me, a scheme like that wouldn't work with a gal like you. No, just holding you would be getting what I want. Only one thing wrong. My knees were getting a little knobby, thanks to a combination of insects and my new white linen shorts. However, Punta was good nerve medicine. The rest of the story came out later. And in her soft voice, it was a bloody kind of lullaby. She threw me to sleep with the facts that the natives had tried to rescue their princess from Keeley and Cortez, which gave me an answer for that semicircle of machine gun bodies outside their shack. Also that the princess had taken temporary refuge up in the hills. As nearly as I could figure out, I was left facing a very peculiar problem. Two men out of six insured men had killed the other four, and the two murderous survivors had this much going for them. To the insurance company, they were still worth $50,000 apiece on the hoof, which meant that my job was to keep alive two guys I felt very much like killing. And believe me, they felt the same about me. And with these beautiful, happy, restful thoughts, I left the call for darkness and went back to sleep. And who do you think I wound up with in my dreams? That hokey old parrot and his lousy pumpkin seed.
Johnny, it's time to get up.
Oh?
Hurry from your sleep, Johnny. There is more trouble.
Hey, somebody's being strafed. What's going on?
They are killing again with their machine gun. My people trying to fight them off the island, but they are being killed. Now you must go and lead my people. Help them kill those bad men.
This you won't understand, Gorgeous, but my job is to stop your people and save Keeley and Cortez.
Johnny, you say that now? You are one of them.
No, I'm not one of them. I told you wouldn't understand. There's something I don't understand. Why don't they leave? They've got what they want. Why don't they pick up their pearls and the schooner and the rotten hides and get out of here?
Johnny, they do not have the pearls. Here, see? difference is for you.
Black? Wow. You say for me? Where'd it come from?
The princess. She come back some time ago. She tell me she took all that pearl. She tell me to tell you that this black pearl not company pearls. This her own for you. She like you.
Well, I like her, too. Just the way she is, up in the hills. Right now, I wish you looked like her.
Oh, Johnny, you don't like the way I look like I am?
I love the way you look like you are.
Why you say that?
Because if you did look like her, I think I'd have an idea that would stop those men. Yeah. Turn around.
Yes, Johnny.
Oh, this will be the crime of the year, but maybe I can do it. And I did. I gave Punta a thorough loss of beauty treatment. With the help of padding, dye, mud, and other jungle cosmetics, I had at the end of an hour a reasonable facsimile of Papalaya, the unprettiest princess in the history of royalty. I briefed the suddenly uglified Punta on what she was to do and had her lead me most of the way back to the fortress shack and the clearing. She put a few words on the jungle grapevine, and by the time they reached the end, the native side of the battle, the home team, ceased activities.
Hey, Keeley! Cortez! Time! Cut! Hold it! There's nobody here to shoot at but me, and I want to talk!
Stay where you are, Dollar. Don't move. We'll shoot at anything we hear moving. Brother, we're getting so we can play this thing by ear. Yeah? Close enough? See what we mean? Now, what do you want?
The princess has the pearls, and I've got the princess. I want to make a trade.
What kind of trade?
You'll get the princess and the pearls. We get rid of you. All this killing stops, and you're alive.
We're supposed to believe you got the princess?
You don't have to, but here's something you can believe. You'll never get it this way. Sooner or later, you're going to run out of ammunition or food or water or everything at once.
We still don't know you got the princess. And we ain't buying that pig in any pool. We want to see her.
You'll see her when you're out of that shack and on the boat.
We ain't moving out of here in the dark.
Nobody's asking you to. Take me until dawn to get the princess down out of the hills.
Supposing we decide to do business, how do we know we don't get swamped by those natives between here and the boat?
I'll take care of that. You can depend on it. Remember, my job is to keep you two guys alive and save the company I'm working for $100,000.
All right, we'll give you a chance. We'll be on the boat at dawn watching the shoreline, and this machine gun will be at the rail watching the shoreline with it. You send out the princess. Oh!
You got a deal!
And that ain't all you're going to get. I hope. I hit the beach 2 hours before dawn, with Punta ready to paddle me out to the Kittiwake in a native canoe. I wanted to be there with all weapons handy when Keeley and Cortez stuck their heads up over the rail. But it seems they had thought of that, too. When we hit the sand, there they were, in the small boat, halfway out to the mooring.
Oh, Johnny, there they are. They spoil everything.
Stay out of sight, Punta. Yeah, they spoil everything, but not for long. Well, one thing for sure, I can't use the canoe. Tell me something. Are there sharks in this lagoon?
No, not many.
Well, I hope traffic is light tonight. I got a chance. Okay, Punta, you better stay here. I'm going a few hundred yards up the beach and swim for it. Oh,
Johnny, be careful.
Oh, baby doll. You sound so pretty. And you look so ugly. The water was warmer. And the pool at the heart, but why? Certainly not as much fun. I spent most of the trip trying to keep from splashing. And watching for shark litters around me. It was good in a way. Helped me forget that I don't swim very well. 45 minutes later, I was still half alive, looking for a handhold on the slimy waterline of the Kittiwake on the seaward side. And there I stayed for the next hour and a quarter, listening to Keeley and Cortez on the other side of the boat, nursing their machine gun and waiting like I was for the dawn.
Okay, Cortez, clear your gun.
canoes pushing up on the shoreline.
I say that. Put the glasses on it. We don't want another stage. You got a thing, Steve?
Yeah, we'd like it in focus. They'll tell me. These glasses will bring in every old line in their fat, ugly face.
Those glasses brought something else, if they were that good. A hop on my heart, a lump in my throat. I had to move faster than I figured to. I had to get into action while the attention was all on the approaching canoe, and before they discovered that its passenger was not the princess, but her stand-in, Punta. I grabbed the gunwale, then the rail, cursing every drift that splashed back into the water up my body. I went slipping and sliding and rushing across the deck. Keeley was leaning forward, looking through the glasses, thighs against the rail, so I hit him first, sent him flying over the side. With or without a machine gun, Louie was a tough guy.
There's one for the road. Come back!
I turned around to see what had to be done to take care of Keeley and saw that it was already being taken care of. By a canoe paddle in the hands of an irate dame.
Punta! Punta! Don't kill him! I want him alive! Punta, stop!
No, no! I kill enemy of man I love!
Huh? Oh, no.
Princess Papalaya had pulled a rank on Punta and demanded that she be the one to come out to the ship in the canoe. Because, as she kept telling me on the voyage back to New Guinea, she liked me. Oh, well, she may have been awful ugly, but she was also an awful good sailor. And knowing the way to a sailor's heart, I bought her a present. Expense account, item 4. $10. Tattooing job on the Princess Papalaya's fat right shoulder. A picture of a ship under full sail. So now when she laughs, it goes bounding over the waves. Expense account, item 5. $40. Long-winded cable to Seven Seas Maritime Underwriters. And that's you, gentlemen. Recommending immediate cancellation of policies covering the lives of Celia and Portez, who were in the hands of the New Guinea officials and looking forward to a short life and an unmerry one. Item 6, $831.81, 3.5 shillings, airfare, Port Moresby to Hartford. Item 7, 48 cents. Past due charges at 2 cents per day, Hartford Public Library, on my copy of Tales of the South Pacific. Incidentally, I never did get around to reading. After all, it'd be an utter waste of time for a man who has known a gal like Punta. Expense account total $3,286.44. Assigned yours, truly, Johnny Dollar. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is produced and directed by Gordon T. Hughes and stars Charles Russell. Script by Paul Dudley and Gil Dowd. Featured in the cast were Mary Schiff, D.J. Thompson, Tom Holland, Clark Gordon, Willard Waterman, and Larry Dobkin. The special music is written and conducted by Leif Stevens. Your announcer is Paul Masterson. Be sure to be with us at this same time next week when another unusual expense account is handed in by yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Who's got the nation's most popular band? Vaughn Monroe. And who's the nation's most popular singing band leader? Vaughn Monroe again. Now, who brings you a caravan of the nation's most popular tunes every Saturday night over most of these same CBS stations? You guessed it. It's Vaughn Monroe. That's why everyone listens on Saturday nights to the Vaughn Monroe Show on CBS, where this fall, you hear them all. Stay tuned now for Vaughn Monroe and his caravan, who follow immediately on most of these stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. The big thing I notice on this one is that in this incarnation, given the limited number of episodes we have with Charles Russell as Johnny Dollar, he spent a lot of them on boats. There was the fishing boat episode a few weeks ago. There was one episode that we did not get to hear, How I Turned a Luxury Liner into the into a Battleship. So they were thinking about water. I guess some of the, well, I won't say that. Anyway, we have another email. Wesley emails from off the app. Thank you for answering my question. He asked one before. Is there a way to get scripts from your podcast? Some shows have such great quotes you want to you just want to use today. I'm sure you're referring to the particular episodes. If you're referring to Pat Novak, there's a link, and I'll add it to the Pat Novak page. And if you go to greatdetectives.net, go under the homepage, and then go under About, then go to the archives. You'll see the Pat Novak page, and there you can actually go ahead and go to this quote page for Pat Novak. In terms of the general episodes, really most episodes don't have a script. They're really, as far as I'm aware, the two that have a script were those episodes of Pat Novak. So, and we have a comment from Jesse. Said, "I just wanted you to know that I'm listening to both your Dragnet podcast and your Great Detective podcast, and I love them both. I'm sad at the loss of Pat Novak. It was a great show, and although it took a little time to get used to his hard-boiledness, I liked everything about it once I got used to it. I've given you some suggestions for replacement shows in the past, but I want to just name a few more. Boston Blackie, definitely. Adventure of Sam Spade, probably. Phil Morrow, absolutely. Case Book of Gregory Hood, yep. Bulldog Drummond, I'm going to have to listen to a few more of those. Don't quite know yet about him. Pete Kelly's Blues, yeah. A Rocky Jordan, haven't really listened to it. I've got that on my list. Harry Lime, probably not. I don't generally consider Harry Lime a detective story. Plus, it's kind of hard. It's kind of the same concern I had going into Sam Spade. You have somebody who's too anti-hero-ish, and it can be hard to root for them or to fully enjoy their adventure. And I'm discovering with Sam Spade that on the radio, I think they made him compelling enough and interesting enough, and not too creepy that I think it sounds like it's gonna it's something we can do. But Harry Lime, Radio McDanger has his comments on the on Harry Lime. He's got synopsises of most episodes. Harry schemes to double cross a partner and steal an emerald for himself. Harry is once again the charmingly amoral con man, causing the death of one and the exile of two in the service of his greed. And if only everyone were as honest as Harry Lime, we'd all be shafting each other. Proof that a man convicted of murder was innocent. What else to do but sell it, at least if you're Harry Lime. Harry gleefully fleeces friend and foe alike with a fine art swindle. So I got to admit, I got some hesitation. I should at least give the show a listen to determine its detectiveness, but I don't know. Those type of descriptions, maybe it's just a little prejudicial. Paul comments on Facebook, "I love the podcast. I've already listened to all the episodes and have a hard time waiting for the next one to come out. I'll give you a triple A plus." Well, thank you so much, Paul. Much appreciated. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up for this week. We'll be back on Monday with an episode of Box 13. Got any comments, send them to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. And a reminder that you can call and leave a voicemail for the show. Call 208-991-4783. That's 208-991, Great D. But from Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.